Welcome. Welcome to you all. Welcome to our service. Long weekend. Public holiday tomorrow. Very slow morning for Rob. Ah, that'll be lovely. That'll be lovely. Just to be slow. We welcome today the Reverend Dr. Anna Grant Henderson. Did you read in the grapevine? I hope you did. Of course we did, Rob. It's the grapevine. Did you read, at what point do we stop grumbling and trust? That's what Anna wrote, and I am really wanting to hear where we go from that. At what point do we stop grumbling and trust? Looking forward. But to start, let's sing, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Again, as we lift high the cross, or you can sit down, it doesn't worry me. As you wish, lift high the cross, the love of Christ proclaim, till all the world adore his sacred name. Let's stand up. Come on. One, two, three. Ah, oh, okay. Here we go. Lift high the cross. That go with these drums. You can sit down, because I could make that lots and lots of cymbals. Whew. Now I need to explain that we do have a screen down here, and the screen is not for us to watch something else that's not going on. The screen is reflecting exactly what is up there, so that the people who are at the back of the at the back of the at the back of the front, or at the front of the back, or at the front of the church, so that they can actually see what's going on there. We've got some readings, we've got some things later on, that it would be nice if they could be part of it too. So that's just for them. So just when you come down the front, just be aware of that. Our notices, Circle of Friends, this Tuesday the 10th, for ladies who would like to have a bit of a chat and a cuppa, that's 1:30. The men's dinner group, their next dinner is on March the 18th. If you are wanting to go to that, check up with Neville. The induction of Reverend Shelley, Saturday the 18th of March, it's in the afternoon.
I've written April,
but I'm saying March. Saturday the 18th of April in the afternoon, and more details will come on that. That's why we're a team out here, so when Rob makes a mistake, I can never do this on my own. I have to have them backing me up. And our next market will be on Saturday the 2nd of May. I got it right. And it's going to be a Mother's Day market. Let us begin. Could you lead us, please, Anna?
Let us come before God with our prayers of invocation and confession. Dear God, in the midst of life's chaos, we seek the tranquility of inner peace. Grant us the serenity to find solace in your presence. Calm our restless minds and ease our troubled hearts. As we gather for worship, may your peace descend upon us like a gentle dove, bringing comfort and stillness to our spirits. Lord God, we confess that whenever we take good gifts for granted and grumble about every small obstacle, please put a new song on our tongues until we praise as naturally as bellbirds. When life's pressures fray us, loosing our hold on the still centre, tell us again about sparrows and magpies, about kangaroo paws and saltbush, and the parent who knows our every need. When our spirits begrudge compassion, complaining about needy people, or hiding smugly in the folds of apathy, put in our hands a crown of thorns and show us again what love can make with two pieces of wood and a few nails. God of the crucified Jesus and our God, your love is greater than all our churlishness, fecklessness, and wrongdoing. We thank you that your forgiveness cleanses us, your compassion heals us, and your bountiful grace restores us to a place in your one family that spans both earth and heaven. Wonderful are you, God, our Saviour, Provider, and Counsellor. And so our Saviour Christ came with peace. Peace for those who are near and peace for those who are far away. And so may the peace and wonder and joy of Christ Jesus be always with you. Amen. We continue our journeys in the Old Testament. As you've gathered, I normally preach from the Old Testament. I don't know how often you'd get sermons from the Old Testament with other people. Do you get them very often? Can I ask that or not? Not very often? No. So you're being served a different sort of food, if you like. Anyway, the context of Exodus 17. It's really sort of towards the end of the wandering when the Israelites have been down in Egypt. Initially, they were treated very well. And then a pharaoh changed and suddenly they became sort of slaves and treated very badly. And they grumbled and complained a lot. And Moses got called by God, didn't want to be, but he got called by God to go and to rescue them, which he did. He went there and, of course, the pharaoh took quite a bit of time before he'd let them go. And then we have the beginnings of the journey as they leave Egypt and they cross the Red Sea. And then we have different times where they complain. And we'll talk about those complaints a bit more later. But and they get to this one, which is basically one of the last complaints. And so the passage begins with a descriptive statement about the place reached in the wilderness journey. It's called Rephidim, a place with no water. We then have a quarrel or a dispute between the people and Moses, in which Moses gets blamed for the lack of water. Moses gets blamed quite a bit, actually. He has a hard job trying to cope with both God telling him to do something he doesn't want to do and the people blaming him for whatever happens. They charge him with bringing them away from Egypt to perish in the wilderness. And so Moses asks and appeals to God, what am I to do with them? And then we have this wonder story, which you'll hear about in the readings. And I gather Wendy's going to do the two readings for us. Is that right? Yes? Thank you.
Morning, church family. This morning's first reading is from Exodus chapter 17, verses 1 to 7, and is entitled Water from the Rock. All the congregation of the people of Israel moved on from the wilderness of Sin by stages, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped at Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore, the people found fault with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." And Moses said to them, "Why do you find fault with me? Why do you put the Lord to the proof?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?" So Moses cried to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said to Moses, "Pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the rod with which you struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, that the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the fault-finding of the children of Israel, and because they put the Lord to the proof by saying, "Is this Lord among us or not?" And the second reading is from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. "Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in our hope of sharing the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us. While we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Why, one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man one will dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we are now justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. Not only so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received our reconciliation." This is the word of the Lord.
Let's sing. I've got another song up here. Stay seated. Change my heart, O God.
Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you.
We can't do it real fast because we are old.
Speak for yourself.
We begin this journey with the Israelites, who had had a good time in Egypt for quite a while. Then the Pharaoh changed, and the new Pharaoh came, and the Israelites, they become too many and a threat to the Pharaoh. And so what happened was is that they were put into bondage, they had to make bricks, and they groaned to the Lord, so it says. And the people of Israel groaned under their bondage and cried out for help, and they cried up to the Lord. And God heard their groaning and remembered their people. So we have then, first of all, the Pharaoh tried to stop them by getting the midwives to kill the newborn sons. And we have the story of Moses, of course, who was found and brought up by Pharaoh's daughter. Now, the Lord saw this hardship, and if we want to talk about whether grumbling was okay, it seemed at this time it really was quite okay. There was real hardship and so forth. So it's the beginning of the grumbling. And so spoke to Moses, telling him to go to Pharaoh and to release the Hebrews. Now Moses knew that the Pharaoh would refuse. And so he was very reluctant to go, and finally he went, and he went with Aaron as well. And then he had to spend quite a bit of time bringing down terrible deeds so that Pharaoh would change his mind and allow the Israelites to leave. And when they did, of course, it was only after the firstborn sons were killed that Pharaoh relented. That's his son, the sons of the firstborn of the Pharaohs. And they had to go and get silver and jewels from the Egyptian neighbors and bring unleavened bread and lamb. And so they were released, and they had to travel a particular route. And of course, soon after they left, the Pharaoh changed his mind and pursued them, causing the people of Israel to cry out and to complain, saying that they'd be better off if they'd been left in Egypt. And again, the Lord acted and parted the Red Sea for them. We have the story of the Red Sea, where they go across, and then when the Egyptians go across, the Red Sea comes back down again, and they all get destroyed. So 3 days later, after that part of the journey, we've had two lots of grumbling, they arrive at Marah, and the water is bitter, and again the people murmured against God. And so God agreed that when Moses struck the water, that it would turn from bitter to sweet. Now Exodus 15 through gives accounts of three experiences of tests of Yahweh's care and provision for the people in the face of the illness. The first of these was the water, and then we have, of course, when they are hungry, and then we have the provision of bread. They murmur because there was no bread, there was no water, and so God provides now manna. But if they're told only to collect enough to which they can provide just for that day, and of course they don't. They collect extra. Who would not collect extra, thinking we have extra for it? And the extra turns with maggots and horrible and can't be used. But they actually ate manna for 40 years in the wilderness after that, when they did that. And then, of course, they had quail in the evening. That was provided again by God. So we have these murmurings in our readings about lack of water, lack of food. And each of these counts makes a point about the people's need to trust Yahweh, which is emphasized quite sharply in this last one we heard read in Exodus 17. And so the question is, having gone through all that, at what point should they trust and not grumble? So coming at this point in the wilderness, the story makes 2 points. First, God is to be trusted, even in the most difficult circumstances. The stories in 15, 16, and 17 show that it's so, and they confirm what Israel had experienced in the Exodus and the Red Sea. But second, all these stories show that God is faithful, and the promises of God are to be trusted and accepted at face value. God delivers. This is not to prejudge how God's promises will be fulfilled. We can trust, and we can hope, that be filled in the way that we want them but that's not often the case. Sometimes it's quite different. But the faithful God will be trusted. So we have this. At what point do you think they should have started to trust? Just think about that, and then we'll move it on to what point we should trust. The murmuring of people displays a very human trait by which people appear ungrateful for their rescue by God from the former slavery. They've forgotten very rapidly their past circumstances, and even Moses becomes anxious by sometimes the way that they attack him because of what he's done in bringing them out. One can see this trait in many places in the world in which an oppressive regime is overthrown and people expect the new circumstances to provide immediate relief. Often this doesn't even occur straight away, and people can turn against the new leaders. And so grumbling seems to be part of our very nature, especially about the weather. I talked with friends in the UK recently, and a large part of the conversation was about floods and winds. It just is part, I think, of our nature. And in Britain, I'm not surprised that you complain. I remember rightly living there through winter and months of darkness and rain and everything else. I complain about the hot weather because I don't like it. And I try not to when it turns cool. I try not then to complain about it being too cold. But it is part of our nature, I think, that grumbling is part of our lives. It can, in fact, be part of early lament, but at the moment, just grumbling is a common expression of dissatisfaction, and it goes across every culture and language, and can be quite mild. It can get quite aggressive. And when individuals feel they've been wronged, or they may resort to grumbling as a means of expressing their feelings. Is it helpful to grumble, to murmur, to complain? Well, sometimes it can be. It can be an outlet for pent-up frustrations. But if it starts turning into whining and grumbling, it then sort of moves between just being helpful to being something that can, in fact, disrupt relationships. Excessive grumbling can alienate friends and colleagues, often creates a negative atmosphere. And so we have to be careful about our grumbling, at what point it becomes excessive and not helpful to us or to them. The testimony that we see here in Exodus is also to be seen in lives of God's people, past and today. We may look to them for reassurance. We can also look to our own experiences as we consider where and how God has met us, shared our joys and sorrows, and helped us through difficult times. As we look sometimes beyond, sometimes it can be spectacular intervention, but other times it's just a very quiet, God is with us. God has always been with us. So at what point in our lives do we trust? The major part of one of the complaints that I think turns from grumbling to complaint, which was okay, was when Job complained to God about what he lost, and that was a real complaint. And he spoke straight to God about it and told him what he thought about him. And I think that's okay. I think it's okay to say to God, if something is really bad, that we can say what we think about it to God. So at what point do we trust? What experiences in the past give us hope and trust to deal with crises that we all have? We all have certain crises at times in our lives. Now, a few weeks ago, I did a funeral for a friend or someone I'd known from the Wilunga congregation. She was a person who had known sorrow and personal illness and was now facing death. But through those years, she had always trusted. It had just been part of her life that she trusted God. And she came through and believed it was God who had been there. Now, one of her wishes that she expressed to me when she was dying was that when she died, she'd have the opportunity to meet Jesus face to face. And she had some questions for him, which is very interesting. It was also interesting that as she was dying, she said that she felt she was not feeling God's presence as much as what she thought, but she still believed God was there. So it was very interesting having that sort of conversation with her.
I asked a colleague recently what has sustained her belief as she faced a number of different issues in her personal life and ministry. And she felt as though it had built up situations where she believed that trust there and she could build on that. So it was a slow process of building up there. And then she had a couple of sayings that she felt were important to her. Trust what comes to you, and in gratitude, live your life, was one of them. And they say that where there is trust, courage will appear there. Now, I don't know about you, but I hold on to a verse from Isaiah 43. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I've called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burnt, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I'd like you to take a moment to think about when and how you trust God. Has it been a slow process over time? Has it been something that's particular that happened at one time? Do you have a verse or a saying or an experience? Just take a moment to think what it is that allows you to trust God when things are going wrong in our lives. I want to finish with words from the concentration camp, written by a Jew in the midst of the most horrendous persecution. It's on the walls of a Cologne concentration camp. I've only ever known the first three lines, but came across the whole poem, and so I'd like to read that now. Just thinking about the situation when this poem was written. I believe in the sun, even when it's not shining. And I believe in love, even when there's no one there. And I believe in God, even when God is silent. I believe through any trial there's always a way. But sometimes in this suffering and hopeless despair, my heart cries for shelter to know someone's there. But a voice rises within me, saying, hold on, my child. I'll give you strength. I'll give you hope. Just stay a little while. I believe in the sun even when it's not shining. And I believe in love even when there's no one there. But I believe in God even when God is silent. I believe through any trial there's always a way. May there someday be sunshine. May there someday be happiness. May there someday be love. May there someday be peace. Amen.
We use this song as a way to bring our offerings, and at the end of this song, Ian will dedicate the offerings. Great is your faithfulness. We just have to hook our guitars on. And then check that they're in tune, and then... Great is your faithfulness, it is. We'll get there. Wait a minute, we haven't got the right words up yet. We might just sing, eh?
You know the words.
Yep. Great is your faithfulness, oh God, my Father, let's go. Here we go. We'll start and you can join in. Or you can join in without the words up there, you just know them. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
You never fail, and your love is unfailing. Let us pray. Lord, we give you thanks that we have these gifts to offer. All that we have comes from you. And so we bring to you now our whole selves, including our gifts of money and food, our time and our talents, and who we are, who you have made. So bless us and bless these our gifts, that we may keep on giving to bring God glory and praise forever. So let us come to God with our prayers for ourselves and others, our prayers of intercession. First, let's spend a few moments in silence as we think about the people and the situations which concern us today, the things about which we grumble. Please let us pray together. Generous and compassionate God, we do hear so much grumbling in the world. When the news bulletins are filled with shouting and complaining and grumbling because of the gross unfairness of so much that we see happening in families, in local and national forums, in politics, and throughout the countries of the world. We feel helpless, and we struggle to comprehend the awfulness of so many wars, so much fighting, so much sudden and untimely dying. And so today, Lord, we focus on some of these issues, and we commit them to you. So through your Holy Spirit, fill our hearts with tenderness and compassion and loving kindness, so we may model the grace of Jesus within our lives. May we be witnesses to a powerful peace that is not ours alone, but a sign of Christ's love for all people. We pray particularly for those who are struggling to make sense of the immense death and destruction being inflicted on nations in the Middle East, such as Iran and Israel and Lebanon and the Gulf states like Kuwait and United Arab Emirates and others. Look, it's only a week for this war, but people in Europe and Ukraine and Russia have been fighting for 4 years, and there is still little prospect of lasting peace there. And we know also that death and destruction is ongoing in Gaza, despite the ceasefire that was supposed to stop it. People are sheltering from the bombing. They're displaced from their homes, and they long for peace. And we see ever more people and places being drawn into all of these battles, where powerful people and nations bully weaker ones, and personal and national pride is allowed to reign unfettered. Wherever these conflicts are happening, Lord, both the big ones and the ones within ourselves and within our families, stop the conflict, we pray, stop the pain, and give all people a vision for another more peaceful, more respectful, and more godly way to live. End the heartache of our grief, O God. Surprise us too with how quickly things can change for the better. And may all leaders of nations stop and listen to one another and dare to build a peace that lasts. And we also pray for leaders and aspiring leaders of this state as the build-up to the state election continues. May the policies being put to us be those which will benefit all of us and not just a few. May the language of speakers be tempered with wisdom and moderation and respect and help to bring unity and not division. Help us to speak respectfully, even of those with whom we strongly disagree. We think especially of those who are different, the minorities that are of religion, occupation, language, sexuality, colour and skin colour and racial origin. And we pray that all will be accepted, rather than some be isolated because some are different. When all the world seems to be against us, it's hard to find our place and to work for God's love to be demonstrated in all these relationships that we have with others. Inspire us, Lord, to all be better people, able to ignore the painful barbs and pokes that are sent our way, the criticisms and the grumbles. May the Holy Spirit work in us and others to heal us. Help us to listen to other points of view and then to carefully assess them against the standards of Jesus and the good news he has shared with all God's people. And finally, God of compassion and healing, we pray for the people we know who need your special touch to heal and be healed, and to encourage, to show us new and better ways to live, and to be inspired so each of us can work with others to sustain hope, to model your love, and to remind us regularly that the best is yet to come. For we pray not just for the hurting, but also for their loved ones who journey with them. Lord, bring healing, hope, comfort, acceptance, and reassurance. Remind us afresh of how Jesus came to us, that we might have life in all its fullness. Today we ask you to bless those we know who have special or particular needs, and we name them in the silence of our hearts. We pray that we may be agents of Christ's love, who work together with the help of the Holy Spirit to bring hope and help, peace and love to the world. These are our prayers. We ask them in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Invitation to communion. We come to witness to all of God's acts, from creation to redemption. You made covenants with the whole universe, humans and animals. You call on the hills and mountains to witness your acts, and the creation sings your praise. So come, not because I invite you, it is our Lord who invites you. It is his will that those who want to should meet him here. Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest, with friend, with stranger, with young and with old. Be among us this day. Come close that we may come close to you. Forgive us that we may forgive one another. Renew us so that where we have failed, we may begin again. Amen. And remain seated and sing two verses of this song. I think that's right, isn't it? Yes.
Sing three. One.
Oh. Get up.
Thank you.
we go.
Feed us now.
Blessed are you, O God, for you brought forth bread from the earth. Blessed are you, O God, for you created the fruit of the vine. In the beginning, you watered the earth, that man and woman might have food and drink. You gave to your servant Sarah bread to strengthen her family on their journey, and wine to make them glad. You called Moses and his people out of bondage, and refreshed them with food in the wilderness. You gave Mary and Jesus their daily bread to share, and forever at this table, you offer us bread and wine for our journey, to nourish us as daughters and sons, and so with our sisters and brothers before us and beside us, we praise you from our hearts for your unending goodness. I think we have a prayer of Thanksgiving, do we? Yes. The God of love be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give you all thanks and
praise. Creator Spirit, from whom all course comes forth, life comes forth. Here we gather again with bread and with wine, seeking your presence, longing once more to be nourished.
We hunger for wholeness,
for unity on earth and for peace among the nations. And we know that only in your love can such peace and unity be found. And so, with all that we are and all that we can give, we join with all creation as we proclaim your praise. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And our prayer asking for the Spirit to come, let us pray. So as we do in this place what you did in an upstairs room, send down your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and wine. They may come for us, your body, healing, forgiving, and making us whole. That we may become for you, your body, loving and caring in the world, until your kingdom comes on earth as in heaven. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." The bread will be served and we will retain it and eat together, and then the wine will be served and we'll retain that. Body of our Lord Jesus Christ, broken for you, eat and give thanks. Blood of the new covenant, shed that you might have life and wholeness, drink and be glad of it. Let us pray. Lord of compassion, as we have partaken in this communion, empower us to serve others as Jesus did. Grant us the strength and the heart to extend love and kindness to those in need. And we say together, may we who have eaten of the bread of life live Christ's risen life. May we who have drunk the cup bring new possibilities to others. May we whom the Spirit guides and comforts shows the way and compassion of Christ. Amen. And we'll sing our final song.
Do a different benediction then. How about that? The Father on you blessing bestow, the Son's love towards you flow, the Spirit's presence to you show, on you and all the folk you know, on you and all who around you go, the threefold blessing may you know. Amen.